$1,000 for 1 month?
What? Did we heat the whole city? How do you expect me to pay these bills? We haven't even caught up from last month. This is nuts. We have to do something about this. Seriously, now. Every month, it just gets worse and worse. We can't keep just making the minimum payments every month.
What do you want me to do about it? I'm doing everything I can to get a job. Can't you work more hours?
I can't. I'm already putting in 60 hours a week. You need a job, really. I can't do all of this on my own.
I know. I'm trying.
We need help.
Yeah, like a job.
No, we need help. Real help. We can't keep pretending everything's okay. With this and us, we won't make it.
I know, but how? Who? We can't afford help.
There's that church on the corner.
Church?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe someone there can help us. It's worth a try.
Yeah, right. With their perfect lives?
No, they're not. I watch them on Sundays going into church. They look like us. Their kids are crying, their hair is disheveled, their dirty cars. Maybe they found a way to cope there, you know, with normal stuff. I hear them singing sometimes. They sound hopeful.
You think?
Please, we need help. I'm out of hope.
Church, Jesus. Okay, maybe we'll try it Sunday.
Church, Jesus. Does it work? This next 40 days, we're going to look into who this Jesus character is and ask the question, is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? This is these 40 days until Easter are often referred to as Lent. And we are going to be doing a series called Sensing an Encounter with Christ. Now that might seem like a strange title, but all it means is that as we prepare ourselves for Good Friday and for Easter Sunday, we're going to look at Jesus through the eyes of people who actually saw him. Listen through the ears of people who actually heard him. Try to touch Jesus through those who actually touched him. Essentially, we want to engage our senses to try to meet him face to face, like the people who met Jesus face to face. People who were changed as they encountered the real, historic Jesus. People who discovered that Christ is enough. So throughout this series, you can expect to learn about what it meant to be a Jew in Palestine 2,000 years ago. But more importantly, our job throughout this series will be to encounter Christ, who he was and who he is, and how we believe that we can continue to see and hear and touch him today. This morning, we're going to focus on the sense of touch. Of the five senses, touch is probably the only sense that engages our whole bodies. Think about it. What are the other four senses? Sight, smell, taste, hearing. Where are those all situated? On your head, right? But touch is all over the place, right? The furthest place from your head, your toes, you got all kinds of sensation there, don't you? My wife has very cold feet. And sometimes in the middle of the night, I can feel that coldness on my leg, and I can tell you my nerve endings are working quite well. Throughout our body, the nerve endings they vary in their intensity, right? Some places are very, very sensitive, and other places, like, have you ever noticed that you can feel no pain here? I dare you. Just pinch as hard as you can. Okay, Floyd, let me pinch your... Okay. Easy! He almost bit me. But I can guarantee you don't feel much pain here. So in some parts of our bodies, but you do feel that, don't you? And if you bang it, ouch, right? That's the funny bone. We tend to think of our sense of touch as our most intimate sense, right? We wear clothing to protect our senses from too much cold, or we go to air conditioning maybe if we're too hot, right? The sense of touch is our most intimate sense. If somebody gets into what we call our personal space, what happens? Somebody maybe we're uncomfortable with. We're maybe not so comfortable in a crowded bus because people are jostling against us. Have you ever sat on one of those Winnipeg transit buses and somebody sits right beside you? And how do you feel? You're just kind of like, I don't know this person. And they're kind of touching me. Have you ever noticed that? Their leg is touching my leg. Or is it just me? Am I like OCD? Just an awkward feeling, isn't it? I think we all think that stuff. Who wouldn't you mind invading your personal space? Think about that. Who wouldn't you mind? What are they like? What do they look like? What do they smell like? Now think of those uncomfortable situations that you faced. I had a great aunt, Lydia, and she'd come and she'd grab my cheek and she'd do this. I hated that. I dreaded family gatherings. I'd always ask my parents, is Aunt Lydia going to be there? I mean, it's not that I hated my Aunt Lydia. I just hated when she grabbed my cheek. I'd disappear for the first 10 minutes hoping that she'd forget about me. What about that coworker that's standing a bit too close with coffee breath? Or the angry spouse that's getting in your face? What about the man asking for change on the street? What about the untouchables? Those that we might consider social lepers. Those who make everybody feel uncomfortable. What makes us nervous and afraid about people touching our lives? Well, things weren't much different 2,000 years ago. People had personal space issues just the same as today. They were connected to very real fears and beliefs and even prejudices. So we're going to read a story we've already alluded to in Luke chapter 8, verse 40. You can turn in your Bibles there. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. If you don't have a Bible, we have the passage on the screen. Let's read it. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know the power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While as far as uncomfortable situations go, for Jesus and for the people in that crowd that day, it was pretty uncomfortable experience what was going on. In verse 40, it says that Jesus had returned from somewhere and that the crowds were waiting for him and that they welcomed him. In verse 42, it says that while he was on his way to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' sick 12-year-old daughter, It says that the crowd was so great that they were actually crushing Jesus. Talk about an invasion of personal space. Have you ever been in a crowd like that where you feel like you're getting crushed from all sides? How many of you guys have had that experience? Our international student, one of our international students comes from Beijing, and she tells us that in Winnipeg, we have lots of personal space. In Beijing, she said, you go on the street and you can't help but bump into people. It's that close. It's just like, that's normal. So she said that when she goes back to Beijing after being in Winnipeg a while, she feels claustrophobic because of how many people there are. I probably have never experienced that. I've lived in a very spacious place. In Canada, we have tons of personal space, right? But I have been to heavy metal concerts where a lot of people are packed into a very close quarter. They call some of those, well, they used to call them mosh pits. I don't know what they call them. No, Sam's like, no, they don't call them that anymore. But anyways, when I'm back in my day, they were called mosh pits, and you'd go in there and you'd jump like with the whole crowd, right? Anybody experience that? No? Yeah, a few of you? That's cool. I was at this one, a band called Ned's Atomic Dustbin. I'm serious. It was a great concert. Afterwards, I got out of the venue and I was so wet. And I noticed that it was like I had taken a shower with my clothes on. And I ended up taking off, it was a hot night, so I took off my shirt and I wrung it out and it, like, water dripped from it. And then I had the realization that that probably was partially my sweat, but partially the other 400 people that was in the venue. It was not a pleasant experience. And I thought, crowds are gross. Crowds are gross, right? Can you imagine being in Palestine 2,000 years ago? It's not a cool place. It's pretty warm. And to have these hundreds of people pushing against you, Jesus was very uncomfortable. It was a very uncomfortable situation. Well, what was going on? Why was there this invasion of personal space? Well, let's back up a little bit. What was going on? Well, Jesus had just returned across the lake back to an area called Capernaum, which is in Galilee, from a trip to the other side of the lake with his disciples. Before they had left on their trip, some remarkable things had happened. In chapter 7 of the book of Luke, we find that Jesus had just healed a centurion's servant. And he had raised the son of a widow from the dead. And it also says in chapter 7, verse 21, that he cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So word was out in this area of Capernaum that this great teacher, this great healer, was doing many miraculous signs and wonders. What usually happens when that starts going on is you draw a crowd, right? So people were waiting for when Jesus would come back to that region. Probably everybody had shown up, from those who had serious illnesses to those who had minor indigestion. They thought, you know what? I'm going for some healing, right? The word was also out about Jesus. It wasn't just the healings and the miracles. The word was also out that he was the kind of spiritual leader who loved the little people. He had taught, just in chapter 6, things like, blessed are the poor. His teaching was revolutionary, and then it didn't just focus on the spiritual elite. It was geared towards regular people. In Luke chapter 5, we find Jesus sitting in the house of a tax collector, a guy named Levi, Matthew. And he was eating together with tax collectors and sinners, something that was frowned on by the Pharisees, the spiritual elite of the day. In fact, he ended up calling one tax collector to be one of his 12 disciples. The word was out. Jesus was a spiritual leader that recognized the regular person. In the previous chapter, Jesus was eating in the house of another prominent teacher, a Pharisee, when a sinful woman, probably a prostitute, a woman in the community that everybody looked down on, She came in weeping with a jar of perfume and broke it over Jesus' feet. She mixed her tears with the perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Talk about an invasion of personal space. Most of the spiritual leaders of that day, in fact, the Pharisees whose home he was in, would think, oh, if only he knew who was touching him, the sinner. Jesus knew exactly who was touching him. And he didn't say, get out of here, you sinful woman. What are you doing? No, he actually praised her. He said to the Pharisee, he said, I came to your house and you didn't give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You've not poured oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. And then he turns to the woman and he says, woman, your sins are forgiven. Wow. The people weren't used to this. This wasn't regular operating procedure for spiritual leaders of that day. Something radical was going on, something different than what they had experienced before. They were used to hearing the Pharisees pray in the synagogue like this, I thank you, God, that I'm not like that sinner. The Pharisees taught that it was people's own fault that they were poor or broken, sick or oppressed. And then they tied heavy expectations of what they needed to do in order to get themselves okay with God. And they didn't lift a finger to help them. And here finally was a spiritual leader who was willing to enter the personal space of broken people and touch, actually touch them, and touch their lives. To help them address the very things that kept them down. He healed their diseases. He cast off the spiritual oppression in their lives. He proclaimed freedom for the mistakes that they had made. Wow, no wonder Jesus was being crushed by this crowd. Well, who is this woman? Well, we know some things about her. We know that she was subject to bleeding. Well, what does that mean? Well, most commentators believe that she had a medical condition which caused her to bleed vaginally. It says in verse 43 that no one could heal her. So we can deduce that she had tried every method available to her to find healing. She had visited all types of doctors and healers, and in some manuscripts it said that she'd spent all her money on doctors and was poor because she couldn't find healing. This was particularly bad for a Jewish woman of that era. I mean, I am sure that this would be a debilitating condition for a woman of today, but for that day and age, this condition was devastating. At that time, according to Levitical law, this woman's condition made her what they called ceremonially unclean. And so she couldn't enter into spiritual fellowship because of her constant bleeding. Anyone that she touched would become ceremonially unclean. Anything that she touched could not then be touched by somebody else. Made it very difficult for her to be in any kind of spiritual fellowship. And so you can understand why thick crowds of people probably was not particularly good news for this woman. And why she felt that she needed to seek healing in a more covert way than saying, Jesus, would you heal me? I have this issue of bleeding. Can you imagine how the upright Jewish people in that crowd would have felt with her jostling through them, making them ceremonially unclean? And so, in Matthew's account, she says to herself, if only I could touch his cloak. If only I could just touch him, I know I will be healed. Wow. Think about that for a moment. For 12 years, she had nothing but disappointment after disappointment, lost hope after lost hope. And despite all those disappointments and despite the great barrier of all these people pressed against Jesus, there was something that drove her forward. There was something that caused her not to give up. Faith. She believed. Although she had never met Christ before, she'd heard the stories of healing. She'd heard the stories of deliverance, mercy, and she believed. Even though she had never met him, she believed. And it was that faith that propelled her past the barriers, past what was a very uncomfortable situation, to touch the edge of his cloak. Let me tell you about the cloak, because it's kind of important. There's a picture of one. This was the cloak that a Jewish man was required by Levitical law to wear. It was written in the book of Numbers. Oftentimes it was considered a prayer shawl. There were four corners, and each of the four corners was attached a tassel. You can see those kind of hanging down. Numbers chapter 15, verse 37 records a commandment from the Lord himself to sew these tassels into the cloak of a Jewish man. And these tassels were to be worn as a reminder to the nation of Israel never to prostitute themselves with the gods of the other nations around them, never to follow after other idols, to remember that Yahweh was God. Yahweh alone was God. And so it was worn as a symbol of obedience and submission. And that's exactly why Jesus wore it. He who is the Son of God wore it as a symbol of his submission and his obedience to his Father in heaven. And it is likely that the woman saw these tassels as a way for her to reach out to God, as a concrete way to reach out to him. And it is likely that it was for one of these tassels that she reached and touched. It says that immediately, as soon as she touched it, it says that her bleeding stopped. Immediately. There was something that happened in her body that she knew immediately something was different. She was healed. And Jesus felt it too. He felt the power go out from him. And he stopped and he demanded to know, who touched me? Can you imagine the disciples at that moment? Like looking around, his crowds pressed against him like, Jesus, who's not touching you right now? Right? And Jesus is like, no, you don't understand. Somebody touched me. Some power came out of me. Something has happened. And the woman, she realized she couldn't escape notice. And so trembling, it doesn't say why she was trembling. We don't know whether she thought she was in trouble, that Jesus would be angry at her for making him ceremonially unclean. We don't know if she was trembling because she was worried that the crowds would turn on her when they found out about her issue of bleeding. Doesn't say. Perhaps she was just trembling because she'd just been healed of something that she wasn't free of for 12 years. But at that moment, she explained to Jesus exactly what happened. And then Jesus says, daughter. Isn't that cool? Daughter. I just think it's incredible that she could have walked away without ever having been personally encountering Christ. But Jesus wanted not just to heal her, he wanted to know her. He wanted to talk to her. He wanted to touch her. He wanted to call her daughter. And so he says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Go in the peace that you've been longing for, you've been hoping for. Go in peace. The question I want to ask this morning is this. Today, 2,000 years later, who are the untouchables? Who is it today that, like this woman, are the ones who feel powerless and isolated from others, maybe even from God, because of the things in their lives that they just cannot solve, problems that they just cannot overcome? Well, I want to suggest to you that almost all of us, at some point and for various reasons in our lives, will feel like the untouchables. First of all, many of us will, or even presently might be feeling in some area of our life, powerless. This woman tried everything to solve her issue of bleeding, didn't she? She'd run after hope, and was let down again and again. She had tried everything with no effect. Have you ever been there? Running after hope, trying everything, anything and everything, with no effect. What is your issue of bleeding? What are the problems that you cannot solve? Perhaps it's a health issue, but for many it's deeper than that. For many it's emotional issues, how we bleed emotionally. Things in our past that we can't escape. For many of us, it is patterns that we can't get out of. We feel caught in. We feel bound in. Addictions. All of us feel powerless in some way. And it's often in these areas that we are powerless that we also, like this woman, feel isolated. We can't really tell anybody, or at least it's difficult to be open about the area that we're struggling in. Either we're ashamed to admit our pain or struggle, or we fear that those around us will be insensitive when we share it. Perhaps even hurtful to us in the area of our need. If that's where you are today, my hope is that you will hear in God's word and in the expression of our worship here today that there is hope in Jesus Christ. Although this woman had barriers to cross to touch Jesus, the good news and the truth is that he had already come half the distance, didn't he? The scriptures make a bold claim. And we still make this bold claim today that he, Jesus Christ, is God made flesh, God incarnate, that he came to dwell among us. He didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He came to express the grace of God. This word grace is a beautiful word. It means favor, unearned, unmerited favor. This is God's posture towards us, no matter where you are in life. God's favor, God is favorably reaching to us. The scriptures tell us that we are in a year, a season of God's favor. Jesus came to express this favor. Despite how we messed up our lives and how we've messed up this world, he has great favor for us. In Luke chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus says to all the religious people who are criticizing him for hanging out with sinners and tax collectors, he says this to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus came to touch the lives of real people, to enter into the mess of our lives and bring powerful healing. Jesus came for those who are stuck. We heard that word stuck. Women's ministry is going to be doing a series on that at the women's retreat. It's pretty cool. We're stuck, many of us, stuck in sin, stuck in addiction, stuck in the past, stuck in hurt, stuck in bitterness. We may be sick, but guess what? He's the doctor, and he has the remedy. Amen? He's not afraid to touch us. That's the message I want you to hear today. You may feel untouchable, but he is not afraid to touch you, to touch your life, to enter into the uncleanliness of our lives. By the way, the church is not a collection of people without issues. I love the little monologue this morning. A lot of times the world perceives the church as a collection of people who've got it all together. Well, how do you feel about that? I'd suggest that we're actually a community of untouchables, people who have at various points had a revelation of how little we can control, how little we can do in our own strength. And we heard that there's one who came half the distance, one named Jesus Christ, with the grace of God, and reached out to us in his grace. How do we reach back? Well, the woman had one thing. She had faith. Faith is how we reach back, go the rest of the distance. Jesus came half the distance. Our response to that is faith. To believe and to reach out to him. What are the barriers to your faith? What are the things that are keeping you from reaching out to him? He's come half the distance to prove to you that his favor is on you. But we also need to go some distance to reach back to him. This woman had barriers to cross, didn't she? But it was faith that drove this woman forward when everything around her told her to go home. She wouldn't stop because something deep inside of her told her that this was the one, this Jesus was the one who could heal her when no one else could. And so she believed. And it was that faith that brought about her healing. Touch. Can we touch Jesus Christ today as she touched him 2,000 years ago? I believe we can. By faith, we can. Let's pray. Jesus, we're not so different from this woman. We've all felt powerless. You know the areas of our lives where we feel stuck and powerless, where we've tried again and again to be free. Jesus, we have heard of your fame, that you are the one who can heal the sick, free those in bondage, forgive sin. And Lord, we want to come to you this morning in faith and believe that you are able to meet us exactly where we're at. Would you touch us even as we reach out to you? Would you meet us in our brokenness, in the ways that we're bleeding? And would you heal us? We need to hear the word daughter, son. We need to know that you have not abandoned us in our trouble. And so we ask that you would reach out to us and that you would draw us into this relationship that makes everything different. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today with me, if you were reaching out to the Lord, and perhaps that was even just the first time you reached out to him in a significant way, I'd love to talk to you after the service and love to chat more about that. But I do want to release you today. Can I ask a favor? Invite somebody to church. That's what Lent is for. Throughout Lent, our desire is that we would make our services and our sermons that are accessible to newcomers. Maybe newcomers to the faith, maybe newcomers to church, people who maybe haven't tried that before. It'd be a good time to invite someone to church. So just consider that. Pray about it. On Wednesdays, I just want to invite you to Wednesday prayer. We're actually fasting and praying for that every Wednesday. So if you'd like to join us on Wednesdays, we're just praying for people in our lives that we really want the Lord to reach and touch. And so if that's somebody that you, that's on your, there's somebody on your heart, come. Pray for them with us, and we're going to lift them up to the Lord. Let me bless you and release you. So may the Lord bless you. Let's stand together. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace.